To round out our rather elongated spooky season for the year, the final two videos will deal not with the question of space, though it's related, but of an arguably much more mysterious domain that in many ways we know less about than we do space, that of the oceans of the solar system. Obviously, first and foremost of those are the oceans of our own water world that make it the Blue Jewel. But within Earth's oceans, there have been some mysteries that honestly are a bit creepy and hint that we do not completely know what lurks in the depths. In this day and age, talk of the UFO-UAP phenomenon is hot with the recent and ongoing hearings in Congress on the matter. While traditionally associated with the air, the phenomenon does have an oceanic counterpart, as attested to by Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet, a former administrator with the NOAA, testifying and recounting a story of a U.S. Navy submarine detecting what appeared to behave exactly like a Russian torpedo, chasing the sub and then going on to overshoot the vessel, making for an unexplained encounter of something. Known as USOs, or Unidentified Submerged Objects, they are anything the U.S. Navy sees underwater that it can't explain, including natural objects that can interfere with the operations of ships. Stories of this nature stretch all through history as sea monsters and the like, usually from observers in the distant past seeing animals that we now know exist, but they didn't know at the time. They were simply unknown creatures for the most part to at least some people. A good example is what must have been an amazing journey, preserved in a 10th century medieval text, regarding St. Brendan the Navigator, an Irish monk who set sail into the North Atlantic in search of the Blessed Isle or the Garden of Eden. The voyage is supposed to have happened sometime between 512 and 530. This text describes hell as an island they encountered, where great demons threw fiery slag onto the landscape, with rivers of gold fire flowing from it. Being from Ireland, they probably didn't know what that actually was, but it sounds a lot like a volcanic eruption, and it has to be said, Iceland is in that general area. Also described were great crystal pillars in the ocean, which again, sounds something like icebergs. Finally though, they came across a giant sea monster they named Jasconius that is very likely to have been a large whale. In more modern times, however, when we did have a far better handle on what we were looking at regarding things in oceanic environments, there have still been further mysteries appearing regarding living things in the ocean that are, at the very least, disconcerting. In 1978, the U.S. Navy destroyer escort USS Stein had such an encounter. They noticed a dramatic increase in sonar noise in their systems, which was causing problems with their operations. When inspected, it was found that the no-fall rubber coating protecting the sonar dome had gashes and scratches across 8% of its surface. Inside the gashes, they found the remnants of claws that are found in the suction cups on the tentacles of the giant squid, a mysterious animal or group of animals in its own right that we know exists, but are rarely seen even today. The weird thing is that these claws were enormous in comparison to anything that had ever been found from the squid, hinting that there was an oceanic cephalopod out there that was substantially larger than anything that had ever been documented before. The species of giant squid has never been identified. Oddly, that may not be the only time this ship gets attacked by something, because while it retired out of U.S. Navy service, it was sold to Mexico's Navy, and they operated it for some years until relatively recently when they took it out of service. It's now laid up awaiting scuttling to become an artificial reef. It'll be interesting to see what ecosystem colonizes that ship and how that plays out, though it'll likely be relatively shallow, so may not encounter a giant squid again. Another incident is explained, but it's weird how it unfolded. In 1976, a U.S. Navy torpedo recovery boat was working in oceanographic research. They were using a submerged cargo parachute as a sea anchor until something got caught up in it. They had serious issues both with the ship and the winch the parachute was connected to, with the animal fighting it until it suddenly stopped fighting. It turns out that it was a 750-pound, 15-foot-long megamouth shark that had accidentally swallowed part of the parachute while struggling and suffocated. Despite its size, this was actually the first time anyone reported having physically seen this species of shark, which must be rather rare because there are still to this day only about 100 encounters with them nearly 50 years after the Navy battled one stuck in a parachute in the water. Another case of the accidental encounter of a then poorly known species by a naval vessel happened in 1955 aboard the USS Hale, a US Navy Fletcher-class destroyer. It literally hit a new type of shark, at least to the US Navy, tore it in half, and was dragging 40 feet of the shark on one side and a further 12 feet on the other side of the ship. The commander of the ship ordered full reverse, hoping to avoid the shark's parts from getting caught in the ship's screws. And while it worked, the commander was puzzled, having never seen such a large shark. Turns out it was a whale shark, sightings of which were rare in those days, and the species barely known then, but now is quite well known. Incidentally, the whale shark is actually the largest known species of fish, with individuals today having been measured up to just over 61 feet long. And this is the most massive non-cetacean ocean animal. They are largemouth filter feeders and don't bother with humans, and have really interesting markings for a shark, sort of like stars, which led Malagasy-speaking peoples in Madagascar to refer to the species as many stars. These sharks can now be found in aquariums and are well studied, but it's interesting that within living memory they were mysterious and poorly known. The navies and merchant shipping of the world are no strangers to strange things that initially no one really believes happened. Another example of this are rogue waves. These things have been reported for centuries, but were actually treated with extreme skepticism by the scientific community, right until it became evident that they were very real. But they really only go back so far, and there's a reason for that. The bottom line is that wooden ships weren't very likely to survive an encounter with a rogue wave, and those that saw them did not usually live to tell about it. One early account was by a French scientist and naval officer named Jules Dumont d'Urville, who reported waves in the Indian Ocean a whopping 108 feet tall, and he had other witnesses, but was still ridiculed by the scientific community, which at the time believed that waves could not exceed 30 feet. The reason for the skepticism is that these waves average about twice or more the height of a normal ocean wave. That's a large margin. They are not the same thing as a tsunami. Those have been recorded worldwide since ancient times. But unlike a tsunami, which doesn't present a threat in the open ocean, just when it nears land and is caused by movement of the earth affecting the ocean. Rather, rogue waves occur when currents and winds cause waves to travel at different speeds, and occasionally that can result in several waves merging to create a single large wave, or if certain effects can cause energy to transfer between waves, resulting in a rogue wave. The first modern scientific evidence to surface that the anecdotes of rogue waves might be real didn't surface until 1984, when an oil platform in the North Sea measured a wave with a height of 36 feet moving past in relatively calm seas. This, however, seems to have been dismissed as either a mystery or mismeasurement issue until 1995, when a natural gas platform also in the North Sea measured a wave 84 feet high. But could not be ignored because not only was there an instrument measurement, but damage to the platform consistent with a wave of that height. Since then, rogue wave detections have become less rare, with heights up to 95 feet, a result of much greater satellite surveillance of the oceans, along with more oceanographic measurement. It's now known that rogue waves are very short-lived, localized, and usually happen far out to sea, but they pose a threat because ship designers usually did not design vessels to handle waves so far out of the norm in size, and they always were dangerous. The discovery of rogue waves actually solved a number of mysteries regarding the near loss of ships, loss of them, and tragic loss of human life in the past. There are many of these. One of these cases involves three lighthouse keepers. On December 15, 1900, they were tending the Flannan Isles Lighthouse in the Outer Hebrides of Scotland, during a storm, and they simply disappeared without a trace. Given the weather conditions, the best conclusion was that they were swept away tending equipment, but may actually have been victim to a rogue wave hitting the west side of the island. Another incident was the famous RMS Lusitania, which was struck by a wave in the North Atlantic that was at least 80 feet that actually reached the top of the ship's pilot house, smashing the bridge windows. Another account is particularly disturbing. On December 31, 1914, a lighthouse keeper on Trinidad Head on the coast of California spotted a wave approaching that washed almost completely over the lighthouse, reaching the lantern at the top and extinguishing it. The keeper survived, presumably from being up in the lantern, hoping the lighthouse held, But the lighthouse was located on a very high bluff, meaning that to do it, it was twice the size of a large rogue wave at something on the order of 200 feet. In 1916, the famous polar explorer Ernest Shackleton was in a small boat in the Southern Ocean and saw what he thought was a cloud bank, but it wasn't. It was the crest of an enormous single wave that nearly swamped his boat. He said that in all his experience at sea, that was the largest wave he'd ever seen. More recently is the Edmund Fitzgerald, and while it's not clear what sank that ship in the Great Lakes, one hypothesis is that it was a pair of very large waves. Another was the MS Monken, which sent out a garbled mayday in the Atlantic before going silent. Some wreckage was found, but one lifeboat, unlaunched, was found, and there was evidence of it having been hit with extreme force, even though it was stowed almost 70 feet above the water. Sadly, 28 hands were lost, and the ship seems to have not immediately went down, but rescue efforts were unsuccessful. Given that in 1978, when that ship was lost, rogue waves were not scientifically accepted, so the loss was attributed to a vague freak weather event, even though the evidence from the lifeboat showed clearly that the ship had been hit by a sweeping force, in other words, a wave. In more modern times, the famous ocean liner Queen Elizabeth II, or the QE2 as it was known, encountered a 95-foot wave in the Atlantic at night. The officer on duty said it came out of the darkness and looked like the white cliffs of Dover, and the ship apparently turned into the wave and surfed it, as it was described, to avoid foundering. There were many more incidents, too many to recount in a short video. The rogue waves were one instance where scientific skepticism, or perhaps over-skepticism, got it wrong in the face of a very dangerous, now well-accepted phenomenon. Science is a process of revision, when it works, but when it becomes dogmatic, not so much. Which is why I remain a skeptic of an alien origin for UAP, and the same for USOs that may appear to be technological. But I remain staunchly open to all possibilities and urge the collection of good data sets. The more you know, the better off you are. But I leave you with this because it's me and I'm not capable of making a video without mentioning space. So our planet is not the only body of water in the solar system to host an ocean. There are many ice shell moons that currently do as well, most famously Europa. And the reality is that we know so little about Europa's subsurface ocean that all we can say is that right now, ostensibly, it appears to be habitable, and it's about as old as Earth, and look what happened here. But what we don't know is that if that life is present there, how far did it get? We don't know, but we cannot rule out macrofauna at this stage. Not enough information, and I wonder. There are efforts to design probes that can penetrate the ocean of Europa and take a direct look. What if it's like the USS Stein incident? Rare animals are by their nature hard to find, like the giant squid. And the last thing we get from that probe after seeing only evidence of microbes is a picture of a tentacle or something even stranger. And then the probe goes silent. Food for thought, and eventually humans colonizing Europa. Thanks for listening. I'm science fiction author and futurist John Michael Godier, currently addressing those wondering why spooky season got elongated this year by an additional month. The answer was a personal matter, a tragedy, but not a death. That happened in early October that required a lot of my attention, delaying the content far more than I had hoped for. I'm fine, and I wasn't involved, but someone very close to me, family, got into some trouble with the law and may be going away for a while. Anyone that's out there that's had to deal with that regarding a loved one knows that it's not easy. But onward we go, and on a nice note, the new book is coming along very well for a release in 2025. And be sure to check out my previous books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.